All right, open your Bibles to where we were last time. Let's continue from there. This is speaking about inspired by Isaac. That's the message we have been on for some time. And while on it, we are learning a lot of things. The book of Genesis chapter 24. I will just continue what I began to develop last time. All right, if you are there, let's read from verse 1. I'll read, just pay attention. Look into your Bible, please. I don't like people staring at me when I'm reading the Bible. You make me feel like Michael Jackson. All right? Michael Jackson's an entertainer. He comes to entertain, at least he used to come to entertain people. I am not an entertainer. So I like you looking down at your Bible so that I feel like see if you are part of the teaching, all right, class. He said, now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Now, because of time, I will jump here and there. I'll just slow down where it's important we take particular note of. And Abraham, verse 2, said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I live. But you will go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Shall I take your son back to the land from where you came? Then Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth and who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He said, he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. But the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this, my oath. Only do not take my son back there. That's verse 8, that's the emphasis. And so the servant swore concerning the matter. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master, and set out with a variety of good things of his master's in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. He said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now, may it be that a girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also. May she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this, I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. And then we all know the rest of the story, how Rebecca showed up, and then she happened to be a relative, and she was the one that was chosen as a wife for Isaac. And we know that she was chosen by God, but discovered by the servant of Abraham. Now, this is the main text that we have been using for our, that is, we started reading last time. It's part of our teaching on inspired by Isaac. This is a point I want to make again. God made a promise, and what he's doing is to fulfill his promise. The beautiful thing about, you know, those days when we're young Christians in the word of faith, we're learning the scriptures. Some taught us that God wrote the New Testament for us Christians, but then the Old Testament he wrote for the Jews. Later, and I believed it then. But later on, as I began to learn some more, I heard somebody explain this, and it was so clear in the scriptures that it's not so. That God wrote his promises in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. He prophesied them by the prophets. And Paul explained this in the book of Romans chapter 1. But that in the New Testament, our eyes were opened to be able to understand the promises. So you find out that Peter said that those who prophesied did not know what they were talking about. And when they sought to know, the Spirit of Christ in them said to them clearly, it's not for your time, it's for a time to come. That is what many of us call Old Covenant, Old Testament. What we lack is understanding. What we lack is the ability to decode the things that are in there. But actually, the promises of God are in there. Are you getting my point? And what God is doing is to fulfill those promises in your life to fulfill those promises in mind, and what you need to do as a Christian for your life so that your life will improve, your life will be better, is to seek out those promises and make a demand on them. It's very important because, you see, God has given you something does not mean it will automatically come in your life. It's not because he doesn't wish it so. He does wish it so. But what happens is that there's what the Bible calls, Paul was speaking. He said, a great and effectual door has been opened unto me. But what? There are many adversaries. So what happens is that the adversary comes to try and steal that which God has given to you. And except you know, if you listen to our radio series then, I'm talking about knowledge. Even here I taught it, that knowledge is spiritual things, is power. Knowledge is not just information, it is power. It is power. If you know, it becomes impossible for the adversary to take away that which belongs to you. That is why you must seek out to know the promises that God made concerning your life. You must seek out to be consciously aware and persuaded. Are you getting my point? About those things. It's when you are persuaded about them, then you can lay hold of those promises and demand them by faith. And life will always respond because the Bible says that God is watching over his word to perform it. So that's what I've been talking about. So what God wants to do in your life is simply to fulfill his promises. I hope you're getting that point there. All right. So we've been talking about that. Now, where I ended last time, which is where I want to continue, is that, you know, I made a statement. If I had to, I was careful to ensure so that I wouldn't confuse people. I began to explain what I call the geographical tie to the manifestation of the promises. Okay? I said, this was a confusion I had to clarify. I'm not saying that God cannot bless people anywhere. I said, but because life has this assignment, I said, this is what we must remove from our minds. We must never think that our blessing, as that's a general principle now, is tied to rich place. That is, somebody say you want to do business, say you must be in Lagos. Except I'm in Abuja, I cannot make money. Except I'm in America, I cannot prosper. I said, we must never, ever think like that. However, this is what I want us to understand. Look at this particular portion we read. What I try to bring out from there is the fact that God says simply to them that Abraham was speaking to the servant. Said, make sure you do not take my servant and my son back to the land from which I came. The reason is because the land which I am in here is a land of promise. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, where I'm coming from is not the land of promise. The place where I am in right now is a land that God promised to give to my descendants. Therefore, that we are not saying that God requires a good land to bless people, and we know that's not to be that's a matter of fact that he does not require it. However, life is an assignment. Do you understand my point? And I explained something last time, which is what I want to get into again today. When we're talking about this geographical tie to the manifestation of divine promises, this is how it works. It is not just physical geography, even though that also applies. It is not just physical geography, but there's an economic geography, there's a spiritual geography about it. And that is why God gave each person a gift. That's why God empowered each person, all right, with a particular ability. That ability is tied actually to what he wants you to do in life, and that is what constitutes your own land of promise. Please, you must understand, it's very important. We are talking about the manifestation of the promises of God. That there are things that God wants to do in your life, and I'm trying to explain something. This is why I began last time, our last meeting on this. That God has picked a land for each person. God has a promise for your life, but it will not just manifest just anywhere. Very interesting. This matter, let's take prosperity as an example. I believe that God wants all his children to prosper. If you believe that, say amen. It's a promise. But I'm saying again today that it is tied to a particular... Now, please, be careful when you're interpreting what I'm talking about, the geography now. I am not saying a rich place is required for the manifestation of divine promises. No. I'm saying you must identify your own land of promise. And there are two sides to that land. There is a physical land. It is not everywhere. You know, I was talking to a brother some time ago, and we were just talking about it. You know, that then, you know, I don't like noise. You know, this traffic in Enugu is already getting to me. I don't like it. All right? So those days, I was living in Lagos. So I said that this Lagos, you need grace to live there. Now, the truth is that I didn't have that grace really, even though I lived there for a while. It's just not my thing. There are people who like it. Bishop Oyedepo used to say those days that he always liked living in the periphery of cities. Okay? At the time, he was living in Yanakwaja. And after, he moved to Ota. He said, if the place gets too populated, he will move again. You understand? And immediately, I don't know whether he meant it literally, but he said that that's how prophets are. They don't like living in the centers or cities. I am personally, I'm like that. I have never liked crowded places. So, that day we were talking with the brother. He just said that, I said, oh, there's a particular grace you need to be stay in this Lagos. And he said something like, no, that the Bible says that anywhere you go, you know, anywhere the sole of your foot treads, he has given you to possess. I said, excuse me, sir. No, you got that wrong. Even though the quotation is correct, but the people he was telling that to, he specifically told them where not to tread. He told them, if you get to the land of the Edomites, be careful. You get to the people of Mount Seir, be careful. He said, I will not as much as give you 1 square foot, you understand my point, of that land because I have given it to somebody else. So I said to the brother that day, I said, listen, I know that God can prosper people anywhere, but I still maintain everywhere you are in life, there is a grace that God has given you to occupy that place. And if God does not, and listen, you must understand this, God actually plans your life. Actually, last week, that was the statement I wanted to make. That God actually plans your life and your success, your progress, your increase in life, the fulfillment of his promises, all right, is tied to your identifying it and working in the plan that he has made for you. Now, let me quickly correct something so that you won't get me wrong. He's okay, how do I know, therefore, the plan that God has for my life? I'm going to talk about that again because that's where people often get hung up. All right, you said that I cannot manifest these promises except that I am in the land of promise, which is what I'm trying to explain, that there is a land of promise. How do I therefore know my land of promise? All right, we often ask that question, and please, in case I forget, remind me that I said I'm going to tackle it. I will, okay? But let me sit on this matter first, okay, to explain to people that there is a land of your promise. It is not everything, okay, that does well, naturally speaking, that requires your participation. It's not. Many times, you know, because, you know, some people just have some things, you know, and I read a lot. They're one of the things that God has given me. You'll be amazed. You know, I know how to plan businesses. You won't believe it. Why don't you do? If I do, how will I preach? No, just think about it for a moment. And you know the interesting part? If I start it, I'm sure the gift that I thought I had would disappear. God will make it, he will deliberately confound it so as to, you know, redirect me in the right direction. When we're coming from Suka, was it when we're going or coming? I was telling Bishop, I said before, okay, it was yesterday, right? No, yes, I was telling him yesterday because I went to preach in Suka. It was the one that went with me. I said, before I used to say that, I'm not Mr. No Olo, when I want to give, when we just maybe analyzing things, all right, like BlackBerry had a problem, Microsoft was having problems, you know, in some areas. I said, before I used to say, I'm not Mr. No Olo, maybe. I said, but after I said that for a long time, I now realize that many of the things I will say, 4 years later, they'll start doing it. I said, well, maybe I actually know a lot more than I thought I did. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Like now, BlackBerry Messenger is on every platform now, almost every platform. I said this years ago. They said this company is having problems. I just give a few strategies that if they follow it like this, okay, these guys will revamp this company. But of course, nobody's listening to me. They are not calling me. So I can't even tell them. But why I want to do that is this. A lot of times, things like that fly around in my mind. There are times I tell Inka, look, this is an idea. Develop this thing. It will work well in your business. Develop this thing. And I will atomize it for him. Like they say, oh, you know, ask, why don't you do it? Because I have to preach. That's what I'm trying to explain. Once, Smith Wigglesworth, I think, was the one that was speaking. He said this. He said, I know a lot about God, much more than I am able to teach. That is, I have the knowledge. I have the desire to teach it to people, but I don't even think about doing it. Why? He said, because when I start, I lose the ability to win souls. That's what he said. The man said, if I step into that office of a teacher, and I want to start dissecting scriptures and trying to explain things line by line, precept upon precept, I lose the ability to win souls. Some people have questioned the fact that there's a statement I make. You've heard a lot of times that if I want to organize a program If they are unbelievers, you're inviting, I'm not coming. That I don't have the gift of connecting with unbelievers. It doesn't mean that, listen, that they can't get blessed. If you're inviting Pastor Bank to go somewhere to come and preach, I assume it's a Christian gathering. There is nothing wrong. I mean, I love Raymond Bunky. May God bless him. May God increase him. Amen. May God multiply him. That, you understand my point? That is, bring many more like him onto this earth. That's what I mean. Am I one of them? No. Why? Because each person has an area now. It's very different from, can you share the word of God with an unbeliever? Yes, every Christian should be able to do that. You don't have to be a preacher. So in that area, I and those who are listening to me are equal. But when it comes to the kind of unction that makes you grab a microphone, expect people to sit down and listen to you, I talk to believers alone. I assume you already believe. I assume we don't have any question on, is it scriptures? Are the scriptures correct or they are not? I'm sure I don't have to be discussing with you, is Jesus Christ the Son of God? If you are still thinking about it, please leave here. All right? Not because I'm angry with you, but I can't help you. I talk from the premise, okay? I have it in my mind that you already agree with me on some basic fundamentals. Which is the reason why, now at least I have to qualify my statements. You say, pastor a church. You know, there's nothing wrong with pastoring a church. Some of my best friends, and some of my best disciples, some of my best, all right, people I admire the most, they pastor churches. So why don't you want to do it? It is simple. Like my friend said, Topsy, he said simply that many people are already doing that one. That is not what we want you to do. Because there are things you say when you start pastoring churches, you can't say them anymore. Not because you will be afraid to say them, but the unction and the ability to say it will vanish from your soul. So for now, brethren, hear it again. I have no such plans. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying I won't change my mind in 10 years. You know, I don't belong to myself. I don't. God, after a while, I say, okay, this phase is over. We move to another phase. But the phase that I'm in currently, I'm trying to explain something. That the manifestation, let me give you an example. Paul said, I'm going to give you a promise. Paul said, we have this, that our sufficiency, our adequacy is not of ourselves, but of God who has made us able or adequate as ministers of the new covenant. He was speaking, that's a promise. We can all claim that. But I'm saying, the manifestation is tied to your own geography. It's tied to your own land of promise. You now decide, and it causes a lot of confusion. And many of the problems you have in what you call churches today, many, I'm not saying all, many, I'm not even saying most, but many of the problems is tied to the fact that everybody thinks that once you start preaching, you have to be a pastor, the way we describe pastor, which is a very wrong way most of the time anyway. A pastor, according to the scriptures, is a man, the woman you go to, all right, to hear divine counsel, to grab understanding of the will of God. It's not the man who greets you when you are sick. It's not the one that baptizes your child. You know, that's my point. It's not the one that buries your dead. It's not the one that conducts your wedding. Even though he might do that, anybody can do that. Any elder, any minister should be able to do that. The pastor is not the one that visits you when you are sick. It's not the one that arranges church finances. All right? Those are the jobs of what the Bible calls deacons. So deacons and elders, they can do all those things. So when you pick the name pastor, people often say that, you know, a pastor has to be compassionate. He has to be this. I understand what they mean. When you are crying, you should be able to cry with you. I don't agree. A pastor should know how to feed you. He should know if you are crying, he should tell you, shut up and stop crying and hear what I want to say. Are you getting my point? Yes, he should know the word that is required for that season. That's what makes him a pastor. The primary duty of a pastor is not ekbele. Sorry. Ozugo. Ndo. Ogadim. No. The primary purpose is I need to give you food. I need to feed you with knowledge and with understanding. That's his primary duty. So, I'm not going to explain something anyway. I just wanted to drop that by the way. So, it is not everywhere where my adequacy as a minister of the gospel will manifest. Once I leave my own land of promise, problems will start. You go and organize citywide crusade. Are you getting my point? Once some people organized a program, they invited me. students, University of Nigeria here, and it was a big fellowship. They were going to invite a lot of people, and used to welcome new students and all of that. So they thought about it. Because of the popularity of the program on radio then, on Cosmo FM, The Way of Success, all right? So they decided to come and invite me. What is the thing? ABC of relationships, something like that. I said, me. Do I look like priest? Who went to you? You getting my point? Now, in fact, when I wrote the book, should I say yes? I was like, you say you are not a married minister. Till now, I'm not. If you organize a program on that is, you want to do outreach on marriage, you invite me, I will not accept. Maybe in 5 years' time, I may start. I'm giving you a start. What? Today, Yenzu, right now. You are getting my point, all right? Now, I look at the people. I said, number one, you want to do outreach to new students. You want to give the number of Kenkatas. You should invite Kenkatas. Now, I told them straight. When they finished, they said what they are trying to do is to invite, they want to use the marriage and relationship thing to invite, to attract people. I said, that's fraud. And when they now come, we'll now give them the truth. I said, me? Participate in your fraud. Lie. I didn't know that people like such things. I said, I know they join. I refuse to. I don't. But I told them simply, at least I wasn't angry with them. I just gave them a number of points. I said, number one, stop doing such things. Do things openly. If you want to teach on marriage, let it be because you want to teach on marriage. If you want to attract people, tell them, I want to attract you. Michael Jackson is coming. Tell them. Sounds funny. No, you'll be amazed. You see, just by the way, for if you're a minister of the gospel, God doesn't enjoy gimmicks. So. All these gimmicks, they are done because of lack of power. You should go and pray so that power will fall. You know what I'm saying? So that you know the power of God. Forget gimmicks. That's why we have a lot of problems in Christianity. The crowd you attracted with fine music cannot be kept with good word. Nothing wrong with entertaining people. You know, one of the problems we have in Christianity is that we mix things up too much. We think that there's a problem with some things. There's nothing wrong with dancing, being happy. I told the guys those days, look, just say what you want to say. Now, if you want people, look, for example, in Lagos now, experience is coming up. Pastor Paul Adeferas is inviting and spending scores of millions of naira to entertain Lagos for a night. His entertainment is good. If you want to go, please go. You will have fun. I mean, in fact, sometimes I worry about how many minutes each person will have to sing. When you see the lineup of powerful people, CC Winers. I mean, the ones coming from America, at least five. Load the whole, so it's fine. But when you now want to say that, you know, I digress into that, trying to help people, okay? Just do your thing straight. That's why when I do programs, in fact, I will print it there. Those that we used to go to Benin to do program for believers only. Do you know the funny thing? In the midst of that, I told you once, a man came from Oka to come and see me here. He said he used to listen to me on radio. And I was the one that finally persuaded him that God existed. Can you believe that? And I was wondering, what did I say? When I talk, I assume you know. If you don't know, I leave you alone. I don't have time. Go and listen to Ravi Zacharias. If you are not sure God exists, listen to Ravi Zacharias. Don't listen to me. I assume. Now, because God knows what he's doing, if each person functions in his own proper place, you'll be amazed at the results you will get. Many times, people, God says to people, go and sing. They come and start preaching. Somebody go and preach, start singing. Listen, if I pastor a church, it will be a very, very unusual church. I'm one person, I don't believe in democracy. I don't have not one jot of faith in democracy when it comes to spiritual things. I was still talking with one of our brothers a few days ago. I said, when I was a fellowship president on campus, all right? We had, you know, in my fellowship, we used to call it core group. The core group is the main executive. We had about like six or seven of us of the fellowship. The interesting part, it didn't cross our minds that everybody had to preach being a member of core group. No, we knew who the preachers were. Only two or three of all those of us in core group, but I preached. And I alone, talking to you today, preached more than the other people put together. And there was no quarrel.
quarrel about it. You see people these days, they are doing democracy. This one has not preached. This one has not preached. That's why you get that. There's no word flowing. Because they are doing democracy. It's my turn. What's your turn? Is your turn? Listen. I've left my message, but I have to explain these things. In life, especially when it comes to church, there's no competition. Some people say, how come you are there? It's only people like you that are preaching. If you can preach, take the microphone, go there. You think it's an easy job? I'm a preacher. Eh? So now when I see people who are not anointed and they give them a microphone, I ask my wife, I'm basically feeling sorry for them. That's, if you stay there for long enough, you get injured, you go wound. Listen, you stay behind the pulpit long enough without an anointing, you go wound. Literal wounding. Is that wounding correct? But when you ask somebody, you preach, like now, we preached yesterday, right, Bishop? Came back from Nsukka, early this morning, went back to Nsukka again, preached. I'm back here tomorrow morning, I'm preaching. In the afternoon, I'm recording for radio. Then in the evening, I'm going to the radio station to go and do a recording, you know, because I have an interview. Listen, if you are not called to do this job, try it. I'm not stronger than you. Just that, listen, I have an unction. I was born to do it. It flows in my system. I can preach in my dream. It's not a joke. If I preach pretty tired during the day, I sleep, I can continue the message in the dream. If you guys can come, we'll meet there. Everybody, I'm telling you. That's what happened to Smith Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth explained clearly. This teaching thing, let me leave it alone. But when it comes to winning souls, give me the microphone. When it comes, you know, to healing people en masse, raising the dead, that's my job. But then when they want to start teaching, he sits down. I read Ken Hagin, I listened to Ken Hagin, and I also read in the material. He said, when the Lord began to deal with him, teach, he felt like shouting, oh, today God is going to bless somebody. Everybody will be shouting. God said, listen, this nobody is on where I send you. And then, this is the interesting part. One day, he now decided to do as the Holy Spirit had been leading him. So that day, he sat down and gave a Bible lesson. Very, very, he said, I made it as slow as possible. Just to prove to God it wouldn't work. Because he was coming out of a culture, a custom that this is what preachers are supposed to do. They should shout and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk nonstop. They shouldn't take time out to explain things to people line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. No, they just keep talking. He said, nobody's going to invite me to come and preach if I don't do that. So that day, he decided, okay, God, I'm going to give you one session. See, it won't work. He talked very slowly, very, very drab. To his surprise, he had the greatest result in ministry that day than many weeks of shouting put together. Why? Our sufficiencies of God is a promise. Our adequacies of God is a promise. But the manifestation of your promise is tied to your own land of promise. When he connected with his land of promise, you know, those are the ones who are in school, they tell you that as a minister, you should be having visions, revelations. We try, you know me too, I close my eyes, do like this. The vision not gracious, now I leave the vision alone. People will tell you all kinds of things, that if you sit down there and pray, and pray, and pray long enough, God will begin to show you things that are going to happen that day. Look, all those who did it, where are they? I've been clear. Listen, I tried too. Nobody said I not try. Don't think that I was born with wisdom. Me too, I tried. But I was quick to learn. Before you start hearing familiar spirits. I'm telling you, you tune this your ears too much. Demons will say, oh God, he wants to hear something. We'll talk to her now. The Holy Spirit says, you don't want to talk. We will not mind to talk. After God will say, okay, go ahead, talk. Now I'll start hearing voices. I'm feeling like, yes, as I was talking, Holy Spirit, familiar spirit. Those who have insight, we know this guy is operating by familiar spirits. And after a while, he starts seeing real things, but they're actually demonic. Start prophesying money out of your pocket. As I see right now, you have 5,000 in your breast pocket. You collected from the ATM as we are coming. God said, bring it only. And he's not lying. The money is there. You came from the ATM, but some demons were tracking you, reporting to him. When I realized something early, nobody might side with that. If God wants to change it tomorrow, that's his own job. You understand my point? After I say, bank, you have finished this season. Let's move you to another season. It happens. You can't persuade me to see vision for you now. Lie. I will teach you. That's my job. I pray for you. I teach you. If you are not blessed by that, go somewhere else. You are not my disciple. You know what I'm saying? God has not sent me to you. If my teaching and my praying doesn't help you, please move on. You are looking for somebody who will touch you and say, as I began to touch you, like I began to see. There are people who see. I have friends who see you. I'm serious. Good men of God, before they close their eyes like this, they start seeing things. That is, good men of God, no familiar spirit, no demon, Holy Spirit, join hands with them to pray, you must hear something. That's their gift. But they can't teach one-tenth of what I can. And what a real church is, everybody understands his gift. Even this area of money, you know, I've been telling you again and again, listen, every Christian should give, amen?
Amen.
Every Christian should give, amen?
Amen.
But, having said that, it has never been an idea in my mind, having read the scriptures, that Christians contribute equally to sponsor the same job. Lie. I am telling you the truth. God, please, I'm not bragging. I'm trying to help the people of God to understand. If I ran TBN, I would never do praise at all. You know what they do on TBN? A whole week, we are begging for money, send us money. I can't understand it. So how you get money? I will tell you. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. It is acceptable according to each person, what each person has. But I understood this long ago, that if I run a ministry that spent ₦1 billion a month, most of the money will come from not more than 12. That's just the way it happens. That is the way I'm committed to preaching, coming here. Every weekend I'm here, Tuesdays I'm here. There are people who, God said, this is your job. See what that guy is saying? Make sure it's in the airwaves. And as they are faithful in that, God pumps more money into them. It's not kalu-kalu. It's not I give, I get. It's more like the more you give, the more you are able to give. It is not Pastor Banky. After preaching now, you now suddenly have more people preaching to you. No, listen, does it make sense? They say, the more you preach, the more people preach to you. No, the more I preach, the more I have understanding to be able to preach some more. It's called, he increases, how does it go again? He said, he that multiplies it to the sower, all right, and bread for food, shall both multiply and supply and multiply your seed for sowing. So what he does is to give me more unction to preach some more if I'm faithful with what I have already. So people who do that financial side of it, it's the same thing. If God realizes that this fellow, if I give him money, this work will be done. And this is calling. The more he does, the more he pumps money into his hand. This is why we start making a mistake. Somebody start giving a testimony. He said, this brother last week, he gave ₦1 million. This week, God gave him ₦10 million. People start selling land. God didn't give it. That is all those Jaguda offerings. You know now, you've tried it too. The time you sold your shoe and gave us offering, you tried for 3 weeks barefoot. By the time God had mercy on you, he gave you slippers. Just to prove to you that that's not how shoes come. If you need shoe, ask for shoe. Don't sow stupid seed of shoe to get more shoes. You need shoe, ask for it. You need a car, ask. Don't go and give out spare tire. It's true. What confuses people is that when you see a man walking in the realm of his own office, are you getting my point? In which God said, there is he. Go and read that Romans chapter 12. He said, God has given each person, he said, grace has been given to each person according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He said, let each exercise them accordingly. He said, he that giveth, that's it, with liberality. He shows you simply, there is a man that his job is to give. Those are the kind of people that listen. Anytime they put their hand to something, it just turns to money. Every time they turn, anything, they always see money everywhere. If they enter this place and they don't give, they say, if you just put pure water for outside, how many people go back? That is sharp. Their head don't calculate. And if you leave them, they'll make it. You won't believe that is this pure water they are selling. Everything they put their hand to just turns to money like this. The way I look at scripture and understanding will just bellow upon me, and inside we hit the people that listen to me. In the same manner, they just look and say, boy, this is now bush. You are seeing bush. They are seeing money. How they can divide this, do this, and let them start doing it. In a few years, millions just flowing from there. You say, oh boy, how do they take manage? It's a grace. It's grace. So you find, what's happening is that they are in their land of promise. Many times people who don't have understanding will go and tell them that you have to work for God, you have worked for money enough. Then they now go and enter Bible school, become pastor, problem. Then ministry starts lacking money. There's no anointing in the pulpit because the guy there doesn't know Jack. No anointing, no understanding, nothing, no grace. Nothing is flowing in his direction at all. And there's no money because he's not where his grace lies to go and collect the money and use it appropriately. So the whole body is suffering. You come to church is dry. Those who have anointing to preach, nobody to give. to give them money. The whole place is upside down. That's why I encourage every Christian, go and read that my book, How to Work for God. Those kind of people should locate that they are as important as a man preaching. Because if they don't bring the money, he can't talk. Think this microphone is free? Each person, if we locate our gift, stay there, everybody will be blessed. That's the point I'm making. Let nobody deceive you that it's only when you are preaching you're doing the work of God. I keep on saying that. I've used this one extensively to explain that point. That grace, you see, the promises of God are fulfilled when you're in your land of promise. That was why Abraham emphasized, do you understand my point? Emphasized to Eliezer, make sure you don't take my son back. If you take him back, you have suspended the manifestation of the promise. Like I told you, many years ago I read the scripture. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It will not turn me into a businessman, because it's a promise, and I have to be in my land of promise for that word to be fulfilled. Some say, no, this word, we have to work it. So now go and start looking for money. Go and start borrowing money from bank. Doing business you don't have the grace to do. After a while, you are owing everybody. You are owing the bank. You are owing yourself. You are owing your wife. You are owing your father-in-law. You are owing your father. You are owing everybody. You scatter your good name everywhere. Why? Because you read the scripture. That said, prosperity will flow towards you like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. You forget that is a promise that will be fulfilled only when you are in your land of promise.